want to take you back about a decade and a half ago. I was going through old boxes, the kind that you move from apartment to apartment or house to house and never really unpack all the way, just kind of put them somewhere and deal with them later. And I came across an old journal that I'd kept in college. And I started reading through it. And I found an entry that caught my eye from October of 2001. It was October 2001. In which I had written in purple glitter gel pen that if I didn't figure out a way to come to terms with my attraction to women, I was going to end up having a midlife crisis in my 40s and have to deal with it then. Well, I'm 43, and I'm standing here telling my story, so you might be able to guess where this is going. I stared at the page, and when I was rereading this, I was probably around 30, and I just didn't really know what to make of it. By that time, I was married to a man, I was a mom, I had a career, I had a whole grown-up life. So I put the journal away and went back to everyday life. But it became kind of a routine over the next several years that I would pull out my old journal, read a few of the entries, sometimes cry, put it away, and go back to regular life. So when I got to college in the fall of 2000, having grown up in Toledo, Ohio, the LGBT representation I'd seen pretty much began and ended with Ellen DeGeneres. And suddenly, I was at Oberlin College, and there were queer students everywhere, and I found them fascinating and intimidating. So I found a boyfriend by the end of September of my freshman year, which made it a lot easier to just not think about anything. And he and I were together that year, and I got to know more queer people just because that's what happens at Oberlin. But it was all highly theoretical in terms of whether I was part of that community. And I went home the summer after my freshman year of college back to Toledo, and I started Googling or Yahooing or whatever we did in 2001. And I found this LGBT teen support group in Toledo. And it was for 18 and under, but I wouldn't turn 19 until the end of the summer, so I squeaked in just under the wire. For safety reasons, they did not advertise where they met, so I had to call this nice middle-aged lady named Brenda and tell her about myself before she would tell me where the meetings were. The group met on Tuesdays, and I went every week that I could that summer, and I never told my parents or any of my friends where I was going. When I got back to college that fall, I was still with the boyfriend, and that's when I started writing in my journal. And I wrote about how, as long as I had a boyfriend, it was easy to put these thoughts in the back of my mind, but I also wrote about how it was getting harder to do so. I wrote that I knew it was okay for everybody else, but not for me. And one of my favorites, I wrote, "My life plan says to go to college, get a degree, find a nice boy, have a family, live happily ever after. Date girls is not on the schedule." And when I say schedule, I mean schedule. I had it all planned out. I was going to have two kids by the time I turned 30, so I had to work backwards, which meant that I had to have my first kid by the time I turned 28. I had to be married by the time I turned 26. I had to be engaged by the time I turned 25. And I had to meet the person I was going to marry by the time I turned 23. So the clock was ticking. And then in the fall of that year, in November, the boyfriend and I broke up. And suddenly things weren't so theoretical anymore. And I wrote in my journal about how maybe I wanted to come out and maybe I wanted to try dating women. And I wrote about how I thought maybe my parents would have a hard time initially, but I knew that they'd come around. And I wrote about how I didn't understand why I was having such a hard time with this when I was at Oberlin of all places, and how I knew plenty of people from much more conservative families who'd figured out ways to do this, and I didn't understand why this was so terrifying for me. And in the midst of all that, in February of 2002, I met Nat, the boy who would become my husband when I was 19. And we stayed together for all of college, and then we moved to Baltimore, his hometown, and got married and got jobs and built our careers, and I went to law school and he went to grad school, and we had a baby and then another baby, and then COVID happened, and suddenly life had just kind of moved along. But periodically, I would still pull out my old journals and reread them. It was a good life. I wasn't unhappy, but I couldn't really feel settled. Finally, in 2021, I found a therapist who focused on LGBT issues, and with time, I was realizing that I couldn't maintain the status quo. It wasn't easy. I felt like some of my closest held values were direct odds with each other. Loyalty, family, commitment, integrity, honesty. I remember being in shul during High Holy Days, sitting there with my family, and feeling like, why can't I just be happy? I have everything I ever wanted. I have a caring husband who's a good dad. I have healthy kids. I have a good job. And I was there feeling like I wasn't fully there. It was a good life by any definition. But with time, I was realizing I just couldn't figure out a way to make it work for me. And ultimately, in 2023, Nat and I separated a month before our son's bar mitzvah. And I came out. And I'd like to say that it was easy, but it wasn't. Not because anybody wasn't accepting. Every single person in my community was universally accepting. But because I had to grieve the future that I'd imagined for myself. And I caused people I loved pain. And I had to figure out how to get used to only living with my kids half the time, as though that's something that anybody can get used to. And I had to figure out a new way of relating to this human I had made every single life decision with for 20 years. And I had to accept the fact that I was the hot gossip of the Pikesville Jewish Day School parent community. And my kids had to accept that too, but they didn't sign up for that. And I was living alone for the first time in my life and dating for the first time since I was a teenager, and it was just a lot of new things. And I had agonized over all of these decisions for so long, and then I just, I don't know, was living them. And sometimes it's still hard, but I feel like I've settled into something of a new normal, and I have a good co-parenting relationship with Nat. Our kids are doing well. I'm in a good relationship. I got a little fluffy dog, and I just bought a house. But it's always easy to, I think it's human nature to think about the path not taken and to wonder, what if I'd made different decisions at this point in my life or that point in my life? But the decisions that I made me who I am, and I can't regret any of that. And as somebody who plans and organizes and considers everything from as many different angles as possible, I've had to learn to accept that sometimes there is no, I think most of the time, there's no objectively right and wrong decisions, just choices that branch off leading to more choices and to more choices, and we just kind of have to figure it out the best we can.